It is 1:52. Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. Live from Ticket Stock, it's another Ticket Roundtable. Yes, thank you, sir. Here on this particular roundtable, look at this. We have George and Craig, yep. The Musers. Look at
June.
That.
Junes. Junes.
Junes is here like Willis Reed. We like that.
That's right.
We have Mike Reiner right there. That's
staring
him.
Staring everybody to death.
We have Dan McDowell here.
Bob, great to see you.
Good to see you as well, Dan. And looky here.
Look who it is.
This guy doesn't.
Look who it is.
This guy doesn't fit in with the rest of us. This looks like a professional athlete of great regard. It is Barry Church of the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me.
How's life?
He just got back from Paris, he was telling me.
Yeah.
Right? Paris?
Yeah, just got back from Paris.
Yeah?
Yes, I did, yeah. London as well.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
What'd you do over there?
Just a lot of sightseeing, a lot of shopping, and just having a good time.
Did you learn how to drive on the wrong side of the street?
Oh, I didn't risk it. It was
crazy, too dangerous, man.
The taxi drivers are wild over there.
How long were you over there?
For about 10 days. We just came back about 2 days ago.
Did you catch a match?
Oh, no. I wanted to catch the West Ham match, but
you
know,
wanted to have fun
to.
On this trip, Bob.
You shut up.
Ooh, a shot.
Shots fired.
Okay, I'm sorry. We said we wouldn't fight on this one.
There is nothing wrong with a nice match when you're over there. But, hey, there's also shopping. So, whatever. Whatever gets you going.
Yep.
There you go. Well, let's talk about you a little bit. Where this career, I don't know if it feels like it happens really fast for you, but I do remember not so long ago, you're one of those undrafted free agents that we should keep an eye on in camp.
Oh, yeah.
And now you're one of the old men back there running the secondary.
Oh, yeah. I feel pretty old back there. I mean, it's only my fifth year, but, I mean, we're such a young team. And we're growing and on each phase of the game, and I just feel pretty old just going back there. Me and Scandrick, because I think the oldest guy is back there now, and Brandon Carr as well. So definitely feels great to be a veteran and just being around the Dallas Cowboys for so long in this great organization. I'm just glad I could be a part of it.
Did you have any idea when you go to your first camp that this was going to be possible?
Oh, not at all. I mean, I never thought in a million years I'd be able to play as long as I've had so far. You know, it's not that long of a career, but, you know, coming from an undrafted guy, you just want to make the team any way possible, even if that's on the practice squad. So coming into it, I felt for sure, you know, maybe I can make the practice squad, maybe I can do that, but never in a million years would I thought, you know, I'd be starting for the Dallas Cowboys.
You know, we could take it a step further, just like we did with Cole Beasley. He was rated as a two-star recruit out of high school.
Oh, yeah.
You were, too.
Well, yeah.
Here you are in the NFL. So you wonder about those ratings. But talk about yourself as a player coming out of high school, though. How much did you improve between then and when you went to Toledo and became an All-MAC player?
Well, it definitely happened my junior year. You know, I had to make a decision between, you know, track and field or, you know, football, and I decided to go with football. You know, my dad trained me pretty much every day that summer, and I made a big leap from, you know, my junior year to my senior year, and I was able to, you know, compete with some of the best guys out there, especially in the All-Star games and all that stuff, and I was able to get my scholarship to Toledo. It was a late scholarship offer, but, you know, I was able to get it and run with it, and I was able to start as a freshman, and the rest is history.
The only place that offered you one?
No, I had a couple other MAC schools, but no big-time D1 schools. It was all D2 or MAC, and, you know, I was glad they gave me that opportunity, and it kind of paid off for it.
And then did you even go to the combine?
Oh, yeah, I went to the combine.
Okay.
Yeah, I was able to go to the combine. I didn't perform pretty well. You know, I let the nerves get the best of me, and I kind of shook my, you know, my draft status or whatever, but I just, you know, I had to work hard regardless if I got drafted or not, and kind of paid off.
So what was that draft weekend like?
It was
a beating?
It was just me, my mom, my dad, and, you know, it was kind of heartbreaking because, you know, I kind of really wanted to get drafted, and I felt like, yo, man, I'm undrafted, so nobody wants me, you know, that kind of feeling. But, you know, my dad didn't let that get me down. You know, he just said, keep your head up and do what you got to do, and that's what I was able to do, and the Cowboys gave me the chance, and I was able to take it.
You know, the ending wasn't the best, but you guys had a really terrific year this year.
Oh, yeah.
And I was just wondering that, are you the kind of guy that was bothered by that for a little while, or did you shake it off pretty quick and get on with your business, or how do you take stuff like that when things don't work out right in the end in a tough way like that?
It was tough, man. It was especially to lose the way we did lose. I mean, it was just really tough for me and for all my teammates as well, because we knew we had the best team in the NFL at that time and in the playoffs. We knew we could have, you know, beat Seattle and had a great chance to beat, you know, New England, but things didn't work out that way, you know, and it just hurts that, you know, man, we were that close, but that just means we have to work that much harder to get back to where we were, and I feel like we have the nucleus of guys that we have are or are well beyond that have the ability to do that. And so I look forward to us coming back to that stage and past that stage, you know, next year.
How do you explain, like, a lot of people, not me, but a lot of people predicted the Cowboys to have a below 500 record. And
him too.
And the thought was you were 8-8 the year before. You lost Sean Lee and Ware.
Yeah.
Arguably your two best defensive players.
True.
And then you got way better. I mean, I still kind of don't get it. Can you explain?
Well, I think, you know, the previous years, you know, we kind of depended on those guys, you know, Ware, Hatcher, you know, Sean coming on, you know, to kind of, you know, bail us out of all situations. You know, oh, you know, if it all comes down to it, those guys will bail us out and make a play for us. But with those guys leaving and then Sean Lee going down and getting hurt, you know, it kind of made everybody, you know, accountable for themselves and say, you know what, you know, I'm not going to rely on another man to make the play. You know, I'm gonna step up and make that play. And we didn't have those, you know, superstar guys out there. So we all had to, you know, fight for each other and, you know, make a place for one another. And we were able to do that for the most part of the season. And now, you know, we're in that same system for at least another 3 years with Marinelli. So, you know, the guys are going to grow. They're going to understand the system even better. And I just, you know, look for great things from this defense.
I remember a few years ago, or I don't know, maybe a decade by now, but people started to say that safety and safety are kind of the same thing. The free and strong, they blend together so much now. Mm-hmm. Is that true? Do you feel like you play as much center field as you do up in the box? Because I feel like you're a box safety.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. In your particular scheme, is it still a free safety and a strong safety have a big distinction, or what's your take on that?
In our scheme, you know, the free safety is the center fielder, and the strong safety is the box guy, which I am. You know, sometimes, you know, we might get a little fancy and bring the free down just to, you know, mess with the quarterback a little bit. For the most part, 80% of the time, you know, the strong safety is going to be the guy that's coming down. Either if he's, you know, on the right or left, it doesn't matter. The strong safety is coming down, and he's going to try to wreak havoc down there. And that's what I try to do. You know, that's what I try to do as much as I can. And we have Wilcox back there who's getting better and better at his center fielding abilities and being able to read the quarterback. So, like I said, there's a lot of growth for this defense. And, I mean, the sky's the limit. We just got to continue to get better and continue to grow.
Don't safeties have the toughest job now in terms of the new rules on where to hit and how to hit? You guys are impacted more than any other position. So, in the middle of a play, as you're bearing down on a receiver, how much are you thinking about, okay, I got to keep my head up, but I got to hit him in this zone here, and I can't do it. It must just really mess with you.
Oh, it messes with you a lot, but you just really can't try to think about it. You just got to go through it, and hopefully the consequences aren't bad. But, you know, if you think about it, that's how a lot of the guys miss tackles. Okay, I'm going to aim here and try to hit this guy, but, you know, he's going to make a move on you. So, I mean, you just got to go and try to get the guy down as any way as you can. I mean, my coach always says there's no such thing as a bad tackle. You know, as long as that guy gets on the ground, he's tackled. So, I mean, we try to do our best, you know, to keep within the rules and, you know, not try to hit them too high or too low. But, I mean, it's just the aiming target is so small, you know, and these guys are running so fast. So, I mean, it's a tough position. You know, either way, you're going to get fined or get a penalty. So, I mean, it's tough.
And one of your predecessors, I want to say it was Gerald Sensabaugh, but he got fined one time, and you could tell it messed with his head.
Mm-hmm.
And you could tell, like, he was thinking as a play is going on, and that's so hard. The play is going, as you said, so fast. The idea you could even aim for a particular body part, it sounds good on paper, but in reality, I think you just rely on instincts.
Oh, yeah, there's no way you can, you know, say, okay, this play, I'm going to hit this guy on the leg if he catches it. There's just no way you can do that. And so you just got to rely, like you said, on instincts and just doing your best to get the guy down. You know, if it happens to where you, you know, get a penalty or if you get a fine, I mean, hey, you just got to deal with it. But, you know, for the most part, it's just a tough position and it's a tough game, but, you know, we signed up for it.
As ambiguous as some of the rules are, do you appreciate the league trying to make the game safer, or do you think there are too many rules and it's getting in the way of the game?
I appreciate them trying to make it safer, you know, just, you know, for health reasons for guys, you know, outside of football, we've seen what can happen with the concussions and all that stuff. So I appreciate them making it safer, but when it comes down to, you know, if you hit the guy too low, you're getting fined. If you hit the guy too high, you're getting fined. So, I mean, it's kind of a lose-lose situation. But I just, you know, I pray on it and I hope, you know, everything works out in the end.
This is Barry Church with us of the Cowboys here on the Ticket at Ticket Stock. Tell me about those kicks there. Those
European, maybe, huh?
Oh, they are. They're actually European shoes. They're called Balenciagas.
Oh, yeah? Because they look like basketball shoes, and yet they look like they're made of something that you would be nuts to actually play basketball.
Oh, yeah. If you play basketball, you're going to roll your ankle like that. I mean, even though they're kind of high, I mean, there's no support at all. No support.
So did you get to see more of London, I'm thinking, this time than you did when you went back whenever that was, November.
Oh, yeah.
And did you guys get to go out at all week?
I mean, we had one night off. That was after we won on Sunday. But, you know, all the other nights we had a curfew of, I believe it was 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock. And we wouldn't get done with practice and meetings and stuff until 8 o'clock. So, I mean, we only had about 2 hours. And then they had us staying about 45 minutes outside the city. So there was no exploring going on in London.
Oh, you were outside the city.
It was only Jacksonville. It was only Jacksonville. Practice that hard that week, did
you? We were able to pull it off, though.
How was the night at the Tower of London? Did you get to see the crown jewels and everything?
Yeah, we got to see
on the little conveyor belt. Did you go right by it?
Yeah, we had the conveyor belt going, and the crown jewels were looking extra sparkly. So I mean, it was it was a good time. You know, Coach Garrett gave his usual speech and talked about logistics and all this.
Those are jewels.
So.
It's valuable.
In the off season, we were talking off the air. You said you do this international travel thing every off season.
Oh yeah, definitely try to get at least one international trip going. Since my rookie year, I've been able to do one a year, so it's been going pretty good so far. And I don't have any children, so I'm able to do that.
Where you been?
Tell Norm.
My rookie year, we were in the Dominican Republic. Then after that, we went to Puerto Rico. Then the year after that, which was last year, me and Danny McCray, who was here, we went to Madrid, Spain, and then this island called Ibiza, which is pretty crazy. But we went over there, and then this past year, I went to Paris and London.
What's so crazy about it?
It's kind of like a Vegas times 200, but it's a
times 200. Wow,
yeah, it's pretty crazy.
So what happens there? You don't talk about now?
No, we don't speak on what happens over there.
You don't take your lady there?
Oh no,
and it's called what?
Mike's like, what? What's it called?
Yeah, it's called what's this again?
Write it down.
Oh man, did you speak French in Paris?
No, not at all. I tried to, but it didn't kind of work out in my favor.
Omelette du fromage. That's egg omelet, I think, or cheese omelet. So next time you go, you at least have that.
There we go.
So omelet is omelet.
Omelet du fromage.
It's the same word.
Omelet du fromage. Yeah,
that's all the French I know.
There we go. I'm going to see who plays. That's please, I think.
Well, Barry, listen. it's good to have you out here.
Thank you very much. The autograph thing awaits you.
Oh, well, my hands are ready.
All right, that's Barry Church, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you very much.
Yay.
It's 2:05. This is The Ticket.